We're going to Wednesday Comics. To my left, APAT himself, Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, GW himself, Garrett, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. This is Marvin here again, once again. Wednesday Comics Podcast. We'll talk about comic books, anything comic book related. This week, we'll talk about Losers, number three, Andy Diggle, Jock. Before we get there, though, I'd like to run through some quick news stories. Is Corey here?
I doubt it. It's,
you know what?
A little later record, so I can guarantee not.
We're going to call him just so I can put this on the docket that he didn't answer.
Okay.
Oh, he's not even on my list. What happened to him? Oh, he's way down here.
I think last week he told us he has to wake up at 5 to get ready for work or to go to the gym or whatever it is.
Comics waits for no man. Comics waits for nobody who falls here at 5 o'clock. So we'll give him a little ring here. If he wants to answer, he will. Otherwise, I will get that ignore message, as I usually do.
as I usually do.
I was going to say confirmation, because Mr. Jonathan Majors got charged with some crimes that he officially got fired from Marvel.
Yeah. So, and then confirming the sinking ship. So they do have some paths out of it, but it's not. They're obviously going to have to do a course correct. And it's just, I don't know. I'm like, this is probably the worst thing that could have happened to the MCU. One of the worst things, but maybe it's for the best that they can pivot and focus on like Doctor Doom, Fantastic Four, X-Men, like finally get Marvel fans excited again, because I think that's what they've been lacking.
This is when you bring in Doctor Doom. You have him just kill Kang off. We don't even worry about Kang Dynasty. He shows up in one movie, goes, this dude's a fool, snap, throws his dead body aside, and then he challenges everyone, let's bring it, bitches. And they all come at him. So now it's Avengers. Doom owns, or whatever, I don't know.
Doom Wars.
Doom Wars, there you go.
Yeah, do that Avengers Doom Wars, then Doom was big in the Secret Wars, so just pivot with Doctor Doom.
I would say that, to your point, Alex, they could do that. And then if they ever want to bring King back later, they can just go ahead and do that by saying, hey, there was one variant that he didn't kill, and then just bring it as a new actor or somebody else who didn't look like him, and that person didn't associate with the other ones because they were different, and be like, okay, well, he wasn't there. So
I will say I have seen a pretty funny TikTok where they bring Robert Downey Jr.'s character from Tropic Thunder into play Kang, which is highly racist, but it is kind of funny because that'd be a funny way to get RDJ back in the Marvel.
He's a black guy. Okay.
And the joke about Terrence Howard, but I don't know if people know about him coming back and doing this, but I don't think that guy's sane anymore, so I don't think you can have him come in.
Terrence Howard?
Yeah.
No way.
Dude, I literally just heard him talking at a school, arguing that one times one equals two. And you can't say anything else. He said, nope, it's not one. Because if he times one by one, it's got to be two. So, you know, he can live in that world, and if they ever need a king that doesn't know math, then he can come over. So, but I think, I mean, look, there were some quick publicity on his side to try to get things to the public opinion to sway his way, because they released some of the phone calls, and people were like, oh, he doesn't seem that bad in these phone calls, whatever. But it's like, yeah, he probably knew these were getting recorded so he could use these as like evidence to show he doesn't do anything. But I'm just saying that if he put that out, he obviously knew that something was coming out, and he knew he was going to probably possibly get fired. It's not something that they just saw that news and were like, oh, fuck, and they fired him. Like, it literally came out like an hour later. They had everything ready to go. So I think if that is the case, then however long it's been since he got in trouble for the first time, they've been working on it since then. So hopefully we see that pivot. I don't know. Disney's not doing that great. So if they really do cut back a lot, It might take way longer to get to that. So the, as you guys did, you might as well just start something new right now. Do a quick one that's like five movies and then an event movie. And that's it. Let's kick this thing. Where's Shang-Chi at?
Well, I think what's going to save it for the time going on is like the Marvel Spotlight. Like, I feel like that Echo show is going to be awesome. It's going to be the first like adult content Marvel show. And I think like you need something for people to get excited about instead of like, you can't just pander us for years and not have a plan. So I'm like, you got to throw something in there that's going to be like, holy crap, I want to go see Marvel movies again to see how this is going to unfold. But it's just like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you are going to do and pivot right now, I don't think you got much time. So you got to do something quick. Like, give people a reason, like, give people a reason to look forward to what's coming up. There's not really any kind of cohesiveness that was happening with King anyways. It was just like one-off stuff that he was like in the Ant-Man movie, but obviously because that was a different variant, had nothing to do with the stuff in Loki. And the stuff in Loki, like very, very subtly it had stuff to do, but there's nothing that they could have just restarted right now. So like nobody was invested in that, I'm saying.
You know what you could do is they could throw a little King into Deadpool 3 and Deadpool could just kill him and be done with it.
Yeah.
I could see Ryan Reynolds and everyone else in that group be like, yep, throw it in for just a moment. It'll be a little 10-second blurb where Deadpool shows up, kills him, and be done with it.
My fear is the way that Loki Season 2 ended is that that was their replacement to make Loki be that kind of entity that deals with time. But then if you do that, then you're just going back to Loki kind of being the bad guy story, and I think we're way past that in Loki because he said... He was tired of fighting against what he's supposed to be, and he's supposed to lose and all that stuff like that at the end of that second season. And so it kind of seemed like they're resetting that character, but also it's like, no, I don't think anybody's going to be okay with a bad Loki again.
Mm-hmm. I completely disagree with what you just said.
Have we met Tymus yet in MCU?
Who?
Isn't Tymus one of the Kangs?
Tempest?
Who is in the Avengers book that we had read? I thought it was Tymus.
Timely, like Mr. Timely?
Nope. I'll look it up.
Garrett, what do you mean?
I don't think that it was reverting Loki back to his roots. I think it was taking Loki and making... He is now like making it so that the world doesn't collapse.
But like, doesn't he say before that happens, he goes, now I know what I have to do. It's not about me being happy and wanting to move on.
Right, so he's sacrificing, sorry, spoilers, his entire life and his entire being to keep the universe stable.
I guess, you can see that way too, but I'm just saying there's an easy out there that they could make that so that reverses character back to how it was before, because they could make him become corrupted the same way that King did when he started getting involved in the time stuff. So I'm just saying they could be horrible. It just seemed like that was left ambiguous so that they can be like, hey... This guy's in charge now. Like,
Immortus.
And that's what, oh yeah.
That'd be scraping the bottom of the barrel.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're going to pivot, they can't pivot to Doom right away because they need something quick. They need something to be like, and if you really think about it, like, how about they go back and maybe something they touched on in the first couple, not series, what do they call those? Phases. Like, maybe there's something there we can mine from. Like, what happened to Red Skull? Bring that guy back. You know, have a little quick mystic kind of thing. He probably has some powers. Let's go.
Can we find out when they're on Vormir?
What?
Isn't he on the dead planet?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying you could do some mumbo jumbo and bring his ass back for like 2-3 movies.
Why? I don't know why they don't bring out the fucking flaming guns, announce that Fantastic Forecast, and then do like a Mole Man arc. Like, I know the Mole Man's ridiculous, but he was their first villain. So why can't we just fucking do that? That's a villain you guys haven't covered. Like, and Mole Man can lead to Doctor Doom. Like, you start with Mole Man, you do some other Fantastic Four villains, or like, you get more into the scientific community of Marvel, and then boom, you got your Doctor Doom intro movie. Here we go.
Right. I just don't think anybody, even if you look at the docket of stuff coming up, and as you stated, Garrett, like some stuff looks good. Echo and I guess now Mr. Ali's okay with how Blade's going. He wasn't at first, and I guess they went back to the table and reworked it. But, I mean, like, there's nothing there that speaks to me like it's a guarantee, like, this is going to be good quality. Like, even the Echo, like you said, it looks good, but some of this shit has looked good. And I just, now that they throw this wrench in there, and maybe they were having shit on hold until this happened so they could move forward and not make it very apparent. Because in Loki, like I told you, we talked about in the show, I was like, is he in there? Like, how the fuck did they move forward with that when they don't even know if he's still going to be? Like, they had to take a risk and be like, do we include him in this show or do we not? Mm-hmm. And he was in the show. He wasn't actually in the show as much as he was in the first season, which is funny. He wasn't as important, I don't feel like, to the story as much as he was to that first season, especially that finale. He the kind of downgraded his character to this one bumbling kind of scientist guy. And the focus is more on Mobius and Loki and Morbius. I feel like all that kind of stuff was good in that show. But what I'm saying is that they were already kind of, you know, tiptoeing the line of whether or not they should go full force and continue with the plans or kind of change them, but not hint that they were changing them because obviously nothing was solid. But now they officially said, hey, he's not here anymore. Like, it's no secret. They got to do something to be like, here's what we're doing now. Because I think you are in this kind of place, and it's kind of like when they, you know, back in the day when you did Westerns or did any kind of movie that the genre took over, and then you get to a peak of popularity, and then you just become fixated on, like, they'll fucking watch anything. And obviously we're seeing a decline that people aren't just going to watch whatever you put on the screen, especially from that studio after you know, throw out 2, 3, 4 misses like that. And I think they just need a win, and they need something to be like, this is great. Because we talked about it. I don't think Loki season 2, like, I can make the case that that whole show, the whole season is trash. But you can also be like, if you just don't care about it that much, you'd be like, okay, yeah, it was good because the performances are good. And I thought some of the set designs are really good too. But if I'm talking about, like, in terms of satisfying story, I don't think it has a satisfying story. It's one of those shows that they've been doing forever where they put 8 episodes and then actually that one was 6. And it's like, we don't want to get into it because it's spoilers. No, let's get into it because who the fuck cares? Alex is not going to watch it. Here's what I have an issue with, Garrett. And I need somebody to explain to me how this is okay. The whole show is about, we have to do this one thing and save this thing. Otherwise, singularity, yeah, oh, fuck, everything's going to blow up. Everybody's going to die. And then you find out that that's never going to happen. Like, it's done that before, and they just reset every time. And, like, the main sacred timeline is always going to remain the same. And then, like, out of nowhere, I mean, they hint at it throughout the show, but towards, like, the second and third episode, all of a sudden Loki can control this power, which all of a sudden nothing's an issue anymore. Like, he can fix it by all of a sudden getting this random power that they gave him in this season and that he learned how to use, that basically he could reverse time and figure out how to fix everything, and then it's good.
Well, he gets it because they fracture time at the end of season 1. So he is, like, that's why he gets vaulted into a non, like, where nobody knows who he is timeline at the end of season 1. So,
but there's so many times when it should be like, okay, our heroes are in a danger right now, and they're gonna be, and there's even a couple times where you think that, you know, they should be dead, and then it's like, oh, he's not dead, actually, he got moved to a different timeline. And it's like, what? What are you talking about? Like, there's always something written into the story to save them versus their actions saving them. It reminds me, and I just watched this with my son, the SpongeBob movie, the first one. At the end, everything is, you know, there's no more hope, and there's nothing they can do, and all of a sudden he seeks the Goober Goober song. All of a sudden, he sees powers and he saves the day. Where the hell did that come from? That's the same shit as this.
I don't know if I agree. I feel like what happened after season 1 is the cause of this. And Loki was the whole point of the season. He's trying to do whatever he can to fix time. And the only way to fix it is to remove the problem itself, which is trying to fix time. So he takes over with maintaining the Tree of Time. Maintaining time as
but don't
it
you
is
think that like
flow.
Like 90% of it was like, hey, we have to do this one thing. And then like the last 45 minutes of that last episode, he just like fixes everything. And it's like, so none of that shit mattered beforehand.
Well, I think it was all building, in my opinion. I mean, I thought it was all building to that finale. I didn't think it was like, oh, we're doing this last thing and saving it. I mean, I was surprised that was the take, but after him trying again and again and again and again to fix the situation and only finding Band-Aids, it was a constant problem that he solved.
You don't think it's weird that, like, he was instantly so good at using those fucking powers? Like, I don't know.
He didn't start out that way. In the first couple episodes, he kept
Kang says to him, out. Oh, did you know, have you tried pausing time? And then Luke is like, how do you do that? And then he's like, oh, I know. Like, literally a second later, he knows how to do it.
It's because, do you know how many hundreds of thousands of years he relived that moment?
No, he doesn't go back in that second. He literally is talking to Kang, and in that conversation, he learns how to pause time.
No, they don't cut, but because he says, how many times have you talked to me? And he's like, more than I can tell you, like more than you can count.
But in the same conversation, like he says, how do you do that? And he looks back, tries it and says, oh, that's how.
Yeah, that's first time. He's studying Kang, but I'm saying that we don't know what quantity that was that he's talked with Kang.
Anyways,
he could have done that conversation like 20 times.
Listen, that was SpongeBob movie all over again. You know, at the end, he turned to a wizard and something happened. He put some strings together and now he's part of a tree, whatever. I think everybody was like going crazy over that, and I thought it was just like conveniently written to solve an issue with that Kang thing versus having a good story for season two.
Hmm.
6 out of 10. So he won't be in the booth anymore. I don't know what they're going to do. And at this point, it's like, you know, you see the thing happen with Insomniac and all their shit got leaked. And I don't really want to get into that really because it's just like a shame that it has to get leaked. Like the next 10 years of their plans. So we now know like what the second game or the 0.5 game is going to be in between and what the next game is going to be about and what they're building to. And
but I want to point out, it only matters if you actually look into that stuff when it gets leaked. I haven't seen shit. I heard it got done. Either. Never looked at it.
I didn't look at any, there's footage and everything like that. I didn't look at any of that. And I guess the full story's out there. I didn't look at that for Wolverine. But I was looking at their financials just because they never show that kind of stuff. And I was curious, like, how much it costs them to make a game. And did you know for Miles Morales that Marvel charges them a fee to use that character? How much would you say that they charge for that?
$1 million.
Million, Garrett?
I don't know. Probably something ridiculous.
$104 million.
Stupid.
For that one game.
Well, I'm sure they make their money back, but
spend them for some reason way less. I think it was like 70 or 80. But still, it's like that's a lot of. Oh, I guess that's true. Well, I don't think the game version though is. I think Marvel owns all that. It's just the movie stuff. But I think that like, maybe at some point, maybe they loosen the reins on what Kevin's doing, and he kind of more invests in like what's happening here with Insomniac. Like they're obviously just giving them the license to do something with that, and then they take it and do something with it, and Marvel just collects a check. Like at what point do you start doing that with some of this stuff? Because I feel like some of that stuff has suffered because they were doing so much, and then Kevin then became, he wasn't really like supervising everything, and so at a certain point, don't you just say, hey, maybe he's done enough, maybe somebody else.
That Kevin's done enough?
Yeah.
Well,
I feel like he stepped back way too far. He's putting a lot of trust in
he said people already,
he shouldn't be.
Yeah, he said already, but he only did that not because he wanted to, but because they had so many things he couldn't keep up with them.
Well, that should be your first indicator. Like you have the successful formula and you're not successful now. So what does that mean? Go back to your fucking formula. Like, I don't know why they're like trying to solve this huge issue. It's like,
right. I think they need something.
Do the same fucking thing with a different, like, different threat. Like, give us movies that are supposed to be coercive towards taking on this threat by the end of it. Like, it doesn't have to be the same story, but like, for fuck's sake, it worked one time. Do it again. Just do the same fucking thing. And we'll all eat it up.
I think they need to do what DC is doing now, where they have a producer partner as the lead and also James Gunn, who's a creative. And I think Kevin is really good at putting these things together, but maybe they need to just have somebody, you know, be next to him, be as equal but on the creative side. And maybe that person can spark something new with this thing. Kind of like how, you know, eventually George Lucas sold it off, but his protege kind of is Dave Filoni, and now Dave Filoni is in charge of creative over at Star Wars. He got like promoted like 3 weeks ago. And I think they need to do that and find somebody who came up through those ranks and has been with this kind of material for a while. Hopefully like a comic book writer or something like that. Somebody who's more creative. Not saying that Kevin's not creative, but also this guy's only been a producer, really. Even like the Spider-Man movies and all that stuff, he was like assistant to Mr. Ari the whole time, and so he kind of learned through that process. So I think maybe, you know, bring somebody in, and it's not to say that he has bad ideas. It's just to say sometimes, you know, you need a little new juice to see the vision. So,
well, you know, like, you know, Steven DeKnight, who was the showrunner for Daredevil,
right?
Like, he was saying, like, hey, I had time. If they wanted me to come help with the Daredevil TV show, I totally would have been there. Right. And nobody asked me. It's like, yeah, get somebody that, like, has some cred.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like that was great. And, like, at a certain point, you don't need to do it all internally. Maybe say, hey, you know what? This character, it's important. It's going to be in that world. But really, it's not going to be part of the movies or anything like that. So, you know what? You go do something with that and give it to somebody. Like, and have them go off. Like, if they were like to be like Werewolf by Night, Man Thing, all that kind of stuff, they're like, really, I can do anything with that. Like, that was a nice little one shot thing we did. And they go, you know, Guillermo del Toro, your studio, everybody with that, take that off and go do something with that. And like, quit being in charge of everything. But if you're going to tell a story that does go over multiple arcs, like, then focus on that. Like, I don't think they have a focus right now. They want to build new characters, but also have an ongoing story at the same time. And it does not work.
Right.
And that's what has me worried about Echo, because it could be look as great as it can, but that machine that you put it in, that Marvel Studios machine, feels like everything kind of feels the same. And I feel like no matter how good it looks, I'm still going to have, what, 6-8 episodes that could have been 4, and then also what does it add to that character? So, anyway, so DC, your movie, Superman, not getting delayed. Even though I had the writer's strike and everything like that, he announced today that they will officially meet their original date that it's going to come out in July 2025, I believe.
No, I think, no, next year? No, you're right. 2025.
So they'll still reach that date. And they also were kind of more putting things together. And they announced that Matt Reeves was going to do that Arkham TV series. And now that's also going to be part of James Gunn's universe, but the Batman itself, that will not be part of it.
So then is that Arkham story going to have Patterson as Batman?
Nope.
No, it'll be separate. It'll be separate, but Matt Reeves worked on both things. So originally it was going to be the same kind of universe, but now they chose to include the Arkham show in James Gunn stuff. And Matt Reeves said, I want to keep the Batman though separate. And James Gunn said, when Matt Reeves says he wants to keep something separate, like you let him do his thing. But the Arkham thing, they must have, and I'm guessing probably has to do with a lot of those characters who are in the Suicide Squad and Waller, all that kind of stuff, that they want to include that in his universe. So it's probably a harder sell to be like, no, I want to keep this too. Even though they would have crossover with Batman, I think they're just going to go two people. There's going to be two different Batman, basically.
Huh.
So that's another hunt you got to go for, you know, find a guy.
I guess I'm stuck with Matt Reeves, but Matt Reeves is just going to be part of both those things. But the Batman separate, the Arkham stuff is going to be in the DCU. Got it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, I mean, there's going to be a new Batman over there. I hope they go old. I think we've gone young too many times. And I think Bruce works better when he's a little bit older than Superman.
I've been seeing some stuff about the guy that's playing Reacher.
Yeah.
Alan Richardson. Yeah.
I've seen him be told that, oh, it could be him. I thought, you know what? He would make actually a pretty bitchin' Bruce. And in the Arkham games, or Arkham stuff, that would be pretty cool.
He was Aquaman in Smallville.
He was. I was about to say that. And he has the look. I mean, he does look like Batman would in that suit. But I think you need a little bit of juice, you know, a little bit of a star action. I don't mean like megastar either. I just mean somebody who people know. I guess people know him from Reacher. But I mean, that show's been pretty big for the last two seasons. So I think that might be a good call out. So you get that guy in there.
I feel like they need to do like what they do with Superman is like hire kind of an unknown. Because if you go someone, then there's always this like expectation that they have to be a certain way based on other.
Right. Work. I guess you're right. Yeah. I mean, we just get a little bit older. I feel like Lex, they went too young. I feel like Lex and Bruce should always be the same age. And then Superman's always a little younger. Not much. I'm not saying he has to be like a teenager while they're adults. But I mean, like Superman always to me like reads 25. And Batman always reads to me like 37, 40. And then you get a Lex that's like 35. But and obviously they're not doing that. And so we'll see what they do with that Batman age. But actually, you know, what if they get Armie Hammer? You think they'll...
Jeez, dude. Don't even bring that guy up.
They're gonna, maybe they get catering.
Don't give him the sound waves.
Maybe they call Cannibal Catering and he'll come in. So we'll see. Ugh.
He could be Professor Pig.
He'll be the Batman that turns into that vampire. That's what he'll be. Before we get into this, losers, and this show's not going to be that long for anybody out there, but you know we're only 30 minutes in. Jeez, I thought they said 3 minutes, and I fucking had a panic attack. 3 minutes? What the fuck are you talking about? We were talking way longer than that. I wanted to catch you guys up with. I've been really getting into the DC stuff. Because I went and upgraded myself to that one that is like a month behind. So they put everything on there except for like the last issue, which has allowed me to catch up with this Dawn of DC. And I wanted to say, Garrett, Superman, fantastic.
Yes.
Art's fantastic. I the artist, oh my God, who was it? It's not Jacepsy Camicoli, is it? No. Nicola Scott.
That's
Titans. Rotates. That's Titans. Tom
it
Taylor.
Rotates artists.
Tom Taylor on Titans is fantastic. Superboy, I had a lot of fun with. It's a really crazy kind of book, and I feel like it feels different, which it should. I wasn't sure because I dipped out for a while there, Garrett, on like all of a sudden why we have all these this Superboy and stuff like that. But I think that first issue does enough where you can kind of understand how he feels now that he is there. So I thought that was a good issue to start with.
Yeah, he like so Superman like adopts two kids from War World that were like orphaned there, but I can't stand their names. It's Osulraw and Awfulraw, and I'm like I just wish they had different names. I can't stand it. I read it and I'm just like those are just so clunky. Like I just hate them. I hate those names. I think the kids are cool, but I can't stand.
I was gonna say that Superman does seem to kind of. It's like dancing this line between being campy and not being campy, because there are certain things in there that seem really comic booky, and it kind of wants to go back to that Superman that, like, you know, Jimmy has his watch and all that kind of stuff like that, and you have Lois being the editor-in-chief because Mr. White is running for mayor, and so you have all this stuff going on that kind of feels like almost sitcom-like. Like, it's almost kind of like a comedy and an action book together. Because you told me to go read Action. I read Action. That's a totally different tone. And it's like more dark. It's darker, more kind of sinister. And I was like, whoa, where did this come from? And I think that's my takeaway so far from this Dawn of DC, because I read that. I read Titans, Batman Offworld, which I guess we'll include it because it's within the same time frame, but it's not part one of those. But it does seem like there's a lot of variety. So, like, at DC, at least they're, you know, trying different things, because some of those books I was surprised being like, especially the Superboy book, like some of the panel layouts and some of the action in that, I was like, wow, I don't think you usually don't see this outside of Magna, the way this is set up. And I think, you know, when's the last time you read like a book like that where it's kind of like Invincible kind of ish, where there's big action scenes like that, and it kind of is more kind of leaning into the spectacle of it. And so that's why I enjoyed that book. I was like, wow, this is not what I expected from this. Marvel, I'll get to Marvel. I'm not sure where I'm going to catch up with that still yet. But the DC stuff, and you guys have recommended some more to me recently, so I'm going to check those out. But so far, so good. I think Josh and Williamson on Superman, it has a good tone. And I think Mr. Philip Kennedy Johnson, so far I'm enjoying. So
good.
I feel like there's one more I read, but I'm not sure what it is. And the Batman Offworld one is a very big surprise. I feel like, Garrett, the first issue, I was kind of like, this is very weird. But I feel like when you get to the end, it's almost like, okay, I'll read the rest of this. Because they kind of set it up that this Batman is, like, fucking strong as hell. Like, he knows everything. Like, if you just want to read a Batman that, like, is going to win, like, he's not going to lose in this shit. But if you want to see a Batman, like, beat the shit out of everything and have, like, a very cosmic kind of story. It almost seems like alien-ish because they're on this one kind of jail freighter. I think you should read that book. But if you're not interested in it, you look more like a real-life Batman, then it's not your thing. But
yeah, I liked it. I like the ending, like you said, but I don't know. It's definitely taking Batman and just throwing him. It's like doing the randomizer on Super Smash Bros. It's like, here.
You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Just, he's the Batman. He's thought of everything. He's not going to lose. Like, he fights literally aliens that should beat the shit out of him, and he's beating the shit out of them. But then you also have moments where he's just like, I want to fight every kind of species. He tells that fighting robot, he's like, fight me. And he's like, you'll let me fight, punch you? And he's like, yes, I want you to hurt me. I want you to, we're going to practice, and you're going to go through every single species of alien that's on this ship, and I'm going to learn how to fight every single one of them. Like, if that sounds like, if you want to read that kind of Batman, then that's what this is. Jason Aaron. Jason Aaron was his first DC book, and he's writing, I saw coming up here, some Action Comics, at least one or two issues in March. So,
nice.
Should be nice. Gary, we have a book club?
Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People, proudly presents The Losers, Issue 3, written by Andy Diggle with art by Jock.
Alex, I'm very excited to throw this your way and see what you think about this. Jensen, you've been talking about since issue one. You find him annoying, too strong of a character. Do you feel like, because in this issue, I brought that into mind, because there was a point when he was annoying me, because he was like in it too much. Do you just think because maybe he's not a strong character, but all the other ones are so weak that you don't know who they are, and Jensen's the only one that stands out?
Well, he's so prominent right now. And he talks all the time, which normally wouldn't bother me. I mean, I love Deadpool as a character, but that's what this character comes off as, is Deadpool, but not nearly as funny. I mean, Pooch is in the book for, like, what six panels, and is driving a truck. Cougar's pretty cool. I mean, he's doing the sniper thing, but again, he's only in it for, like, six panels. And every panel they're in, they're usually responding to something Jensen has said.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The inside man on the mission.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but he's always the star of every issue so far. But he doesn't seem like he's that important on the team.
I mean, he's what is his job? I thought at first he was a hacker, and then he turned out to be an actor.
Yeah, he was a spy, and now he's
a spy.
And now he's what do you call it? Doing stealth missions inside of a box.
This literally could just be called Jensen plus five.
I just thought,
sorry, Jensen.
So the beginning part I enjoyed, the part about where he shoots people and is actually Cougar on the sniper rifle there, which is from the movie did that also, and I thought that was like a good part of the movie, and it's done well in this issue also. But there's a little exposition period right after that, and right before they break into the other place, I was like, good God, let's fucking move on. Like, I don't need to hear everything that you're going to do or like argue about what they're going to do and for like four pages. And I was just like, Jesus. But when it gets into the action, I like this book, but I feel like at a certain point, like it thinks it's really, feels like he's almost doing like a Guy Ritchie kind of snatch. He wants to like have this kind of back and forth that like, hey, they're all like these unique characters and they're all kind of part of this. They're like the A team, right? They're people grouped together who all have specialties, but they don't get along and all this stuff.
We never see anyone else's specialty.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, Jensen's the only one kind of really doing anything. But I feel like the action scenes, at least Jock, and we know Jock is a great artist in his own right, but I feel like when the art gets to speak, it's better than when the writing gets to speak.
Who does the coloring? Is it Jock?
I'm not sure on that.
I'll look it up right
because
now.
Because I feel like if it was Jock doing the coloring, it wouldn't be so bright. And I think that's part of what takes the art away from me is that the art is so shiny and so bright and so colorful that sometimes it doesn't feel like it quite fits this book. And that's the other thing is that the art is disagreeing with what the tone of the book should feel like. The tone of the book feels like it's a serious, this team has been fucked over and they're so bitter about it. That's why we're going to arm's length to go kick everyone's ass. And we assume the girl that's on our team is a bad guy because she still works for the bad guys. And then we find out, obviously, at the end of this issue that someone else is the bad guy or has betrayed them. But the coloring is so bright and yellow every time we turn the page going, oh, we just killed 18 people. Bright yellow sunshine. Here's some rainbows. Here's a unicorn fucking somebody. Now, I'm still struggling with this, and I've read it twice now.
Woof.
Jesus. Lee Lowridge is the colorist. Jock does not do his own coloring.
Hmm.
I also noticed, yeah. I didn't notice this, I noticed it when I read this one, I saw it was part two of Goliath, and I was like, part two? Did I just read fucking issue two over again? I was like, no, I didn't. I know something else happened in that issue. So I'm back. I didn't realize the first issue was just a one shot. And now number two was the first in this arc, and then this is number three in the arc. Literally that first issue was getting the team together. And then, as you said, Alex, only to use Jensen for everything. He's always the main attraction of each kind of thing that they do, which is fine. I mean, I think Chris Evans could pull it off because Chris Evans has the charisma to pull it off, but I don't think Andy Diggle's writing can pull it off as good as Chris Evans did in that movie, if that makes sense. Like, it's not bad, but I feel like I've seen a better version, so it annoys me it's not that version.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to think about when this was written. This was like early 2000s, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, of course, we've seen the funny guy in the chair a million times over by this point in 2023. But I think back then, that was new and fresh. So what's annoying to us is probably like back then, I'm like, that's probably newer.
He's not the man in the chair. He only did that for one issue.
Yeah, but he had to do some kind of programming on the inside. So he had to get, you know, they only have five people.
But that's the only thing, though. You have five people. And the other four people have very menial jobs. Clay, I don't think, knows how to do anything or open a door for himself. Pooch, apparently, just gets to do the menial driving the truck, then gets stuck in between the protesters. Coog somehow can't do anything outside of use a sniper rifle to turn a switch. He probably, too, doesn't know how to use a doorknob, so he has to shoot the door to open the fucking thing. Jensen's the only one who's got any charisma or probably knows how to talk to people in a normal fashion. And Aisha, hell, she's only in it for like two pages.
My question is also, if we're thinking logically, what Alex, I know your mind went here. If you really do have suspicions about her, why did you leave her alone when this mission she can clearly ruin by just showing up?
And then she shows up.
And she shows up, and they're like, why is she here? What's she doing? And they think that she is the bad person, but I was like, I don't know. Like, if she really would have, like, why even involve her in this one at all? Like, tell you're going to do this if you have that suspicions of her. But I guess maybe the bad guy, the action guy who was a double agent, was the one feeding those suspicions to throw him off the trail. But I don't know.
If they were so suspicious, they should all be wearing trackers anyway, or right, their own teammate to know where they are. So why wouldn't they have tagged her somewhere along the line?
Well, she just joined up. She's new. Fresh blood.
Yeah, well, all they've talked about is her the whole time anyway.
I do know also what you mean, Alex. Like, everything seems very bright, harsh lighting, and it's almost like oversaturated. When otherwise, like, Jock, usually you see him do kind of like a scratchy, like it's very much shadow work, and it works on his inking. And this one, as you stated, like, I think the colors did kind of like over do it on top of Jock's artwork. Because I would be interested to see the pencils and inks and see whether or not it is this kind of, it almost looked like it's like, what do you call it? When something gets faded, it almost like it's like, shit. In the sun, when something fades, what do you call that?
Yeah. Sun
fade.
Bleached. Sun bleached.
Yeah, kind of like that, like where everything, the colors are like really kind of like falling apart, and like it's super like white for the sky, like all the time. And not all the time, but it, and a lot of the scenes, like you can't even tell detail of the sky. It's just like all bright white. It's almost like they got a white sun like 2 feet from them. And that's not usually what you see. I'm looking at it now, and that's what made me bring it back up with when Alex, you mentioned that. I was like, really? And I looked again and go, hey, yeah, I guess you're right. Like it's really bright.
The thing is, and I don't remember if we get one of them coming up in the later issues. I need to see an issue where the team has been captured, which I maybe we'll find out after Rourke has, is it Rourke?
Rourke.
When Rourke has screwed everybody over, if they get captured or what have you, I need to see that one episode where they're all tied up into something. They've gagged Jensen, and we give the other characters an opportunity to talk. And not about what they're going to do when they retire, but to let them use their brain cells to get them out of a situation. Just for the fact, I mean, I want this to be this team book, and I want to like it. And it's not horrible, but I can't get Jensen off the page. It's back when Marvel had Spider-Man or Wolverine in every book, and you don't understand how can he be in 12 books at one time. That's Jensen. Jensen is everybody.
So
it's so funny to me. Because you like love Deadpool, so I'm like, I don't know why this guy drives you nuts.
This guy's not that funny. Deadpool. I don't think he's that funny. Deadpool. I don't know.
What's he not funny about?
I don't know. When he was in the crate and he got out and they were like, open up. And he's like, who's there? And I was just like, fucking open the door, dude. I
was like, when he bitches and moans about, spent 6 hours in this box. Shut the hell up. You agreed to do the job. You probably came up with the fucking job. You probably could have said, give me a taller box.
Clay told him to go in the box.
Hey, in the movie, and I know I probably could have solved this by going to IMDb, but who plays the guy who just double-crossed them?
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba is. And who is the Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the good guy?
He's Clay.
Listen, I don't know who the fuck anybody is but Jensen and Pooch and Cougar. That's it. And the girl.
Okay, I don't remember who Pooch is.
The other two, Pooch. I don't know who they always get mixed up in my head.
Cougar's the sniper.
Who played Pooch, though, in the show, in the movie?
I don't remember. Let me pull it up.
Oh, I thought you knew. I'm sorry.
No. I am telling you, I probably could have solved this by going to IMDb myself. But
to be fair, Idris Elba does make a much better Rourke than this guy does.
Okay, we got Idris Elba as Rourke. We got Zoe Saldana as Aisha. We have Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Clay. Jensen, Chris Evans. Columbus Short as Pooch. And Oscar Janata as Cougar. Wade is Wade. You would recognize him, but he's just like a character actor. But you would recognize him in a second. He's been in a million things. Anybody else famous in this movie? Or just that's it? That's it. There you go. I here's the thing about this too. I feel like reading these back to back, if you actually read them like a whole trade at once, I feel like you would get more out of it than if you pace it like this. Because it feels like every time I have to kind of start back up, and you're not getting the kind of like they want to do a mission each kind of issue. It feels like, and I feel like. If that happens every single time we're reading an issue and you space it out, then you're like, oh, this again. But if you're reading it back to back, it almost would seem like a montage kind of way. So I feel like maybe in hindsight, being a little too harsh on it. But also I feel like the art's way better than the writing. And I want something to happen that's going to be like, this is fucking cool. I think that scene, like the only cool scene that I feel like happened so far is that Jensen Cougar scene. But I've seen that before. And there's no kind of... shot to this book, I was like, that's where it came from. But I'm just saying, like, where's the other stuff? Like, what else did they pull out? Or did they totally just read this and, like, you want to change everything for this movie? Like, what made them decide to make this into something?
Because they saw the star power that they could put into it. Like, when I think of this movie, I think of what Sin City had. Sin City had this big cast, and it was a good movie. But now when you read those books, that's all you can see is the cast who played those characters.
I feel like this was around that time that this movie came out, and it was kind of like the third time for finding these kind of indie, it's not really indie because it's Vertigo, but like Road to Perdition, this movie, and then you, as you said, Alex.
Ooh, excuse me.
What was the movie you just said? If you like
Sin City,
like, and then obviously with the Spirit and all the shit they did around then, like, they were dabbling in the comic book movies. They weren't dabbling in the superheroes because they were like, how the fuck do we do that? But they were dabbling in this other stuff that they could, you know, basically have a story ready and make something out of it. But I feel like Peter Berg, who wrote the movie, like, if that Loser movie feels more like a Peter Berg movie than the Losers comic, if that makes sense. And whenever I see the action, I'm thinking that's what he kind of focused on. Because everything outside of the action, it's just like, obviously it's original thing that it was, but I'm just saying that as a fan of that movie, I feel like the action scenes are the things that translate the most, or that they took from the most. So we'll see. How many, because the Hoopla one is book one, so it's like a half the series. How big is this first arc? How many issues?
Six.
We're doing six?
I'm not sure.
I guess I don't. Maybe it's seven, since the first one was one shot. Plus, if this was part two of it just three.
It just says part two. I don't know how many this is. Because this whole book has 16 in it, so I was just curious. I was like, how much is that first one? So. This is also back in the day when sometimes they would do like 8-issue runs and stuff like that. So they don't really do that anymore. Those are the good old days, Alex. Or you get a Jonathan Hickman who writes Avengers, then you get like a 12-issue run. 13, 14.
Or you get just two different books that are one whole big story. That's yeah, it. Here's 44 issues. Here's 52 issues. That's the whole arc. 90 issues. Way to go.
That too. I thought about going back and finishing or getting back into his X-Men because I dropped out of that. But I heard G2 talking about it, and it swayed me against it. So
I finally dropped X-Men. I had finally listened to Garrett when Garrett was telling me he got into like the first 16 chapter. I'm going to call them chapters, but issues. And then he decided I need to be done because it's not doing what it should for me. I gave it up to 28. And I do want to read them. I like the X-Men a lot. That's what a lot of my Marvel Legends characters are. But I also know that it must not be good enough if it couldn't keep Garrett enticed.
Well, it's just ridiculous. You look at, like, you know, for our segment that's coming up next week, I'm looking at solicits and I'm like, there's like 16 X-Men books coming out. The Power of the House to the Fall of X. I'm like, Jesus, like, how many ways can we manipulate two comic book series that you started this new run with? And like, it's just going nowhere. Jonathan Hickman's not involved anymore. Like, everyone's trying to make this cohesive storyline that's just like, it's just garbage. And there's like, I just saw they're doing a new original X-Men book. They're doing like Dark X-Men, Undead X-Men. Like, I'm like, holy shit. It's just like too much.
Well, it's the same problem we had when we got out of House and Powers, was that there were 12 different issues or 12 different books, and supposedly they're all in an order that they're supposed to be, but guess what? Each order is different in the back of each different book, so it didn't matter.
Right.
So I thought I had to get out. I would maybe get caved back into getting an X-Men book, but I haven't finished the other one, so why would it matter?
I'm only reading Wolverine, and that's it.
Nope, I even dropped Wolverine. I love Wolverine. But I am I'm jumping back on for the few issue run that it's Wolverine Sabretooth War. That one I'm excited to read.
Nice.
There you go, WednesdayComics.com. Go there if you want to subscribe to the show, listen to former episodes, as Garrett mentioned. We have a theme coming up for the next episode. And if you go back to December's past on our feed here, you'll see that every year we were doing best ofs. And so you can go back there and look at those. If you're ever looking to be like, what should I read? I want to read something, you know, that's already done. Go back then and you probably will find one that is done already that we said was great. So WednesdayComics.com, go to RainbowComicsAndCars.com. That's RainbowComicsAndCars.com, Lincoln, Nebraska, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Go to RainbowComicsAndCards.com for more information. RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. That's RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. Speaking of which, are you caught up with Titans, Garrett?
Yes.
Spoilers for number 5, I think. A Swamp Thing does join the Titans, a part-time basis, and not Alec, the new Swamp Thing. So if you want to, if you want to know about more about him, that's rootsoftheswampthing.com. So there you go. He's on the Titans now, part time, obviously part time. And Tempest. Oh, that's who Tempest. That's what was in my head. I was thinking of him in that storyline. And
the one other guy from Titans.
Yeah. The yeah. What did you say?
Isn't he a water yes. guy?
Okay. Yeah. Like Aquaman. Yeah. I thought you said the Wolverine guy or something like that. No. You don't know?
I do tend to mumble, so
do you know that Wolverine guy? Dakin. And Brother Blood's in it. Oh, excuse me, not Brother Blood anymore. Brother something. No more blood, Alex. Brother Infinite, that's what his name is. I think so. Anyways, Swamp Thing is in there. If you want to learn more about that Swamp Thing, he had his own series. But you also can go to rootsofswampthing.com and get more information about that avatar of the green. It gets kind of a little bit in the weeds, and it's a very kind of branching story, we'll say. But the rootsofswampthing.com is a place to go to get it all fucking straight. All right? That's where you get your Swamp Thing straight into your veins.
Whoa. Shooting up drugs.
Have you ever seen Gremlins 2?
Mm-hmm.
There's a gremlins that eats all of those that vegetable potion, and then it starts turning into vegetables. That's what happens when you go to rootsoftheswampthing.com. You start becoming part of the avatar of the green. So don't stay too long, Alex. You know, come back to it in
tubers.
Come back to it in short burst. You know, kind of like a something that's hot. You kind of like jiggle it in your hands when it gets too hot. That's what you're doing here, because this information is so fucking hot. Damn. You don't want to touch it all at once. So,
yeah,
it reminds me, actually, I was just making waffles with my son, the mini waffles, because we got this mini waffle maker that looks like Baby Yoda. And I go, hey, I said, hey, let me do the waffles because that thing is hot. And he said, okay. And I go over to get the batter, and I see him touch his finger on it, and he goes, oh, and recoil right away. And I go, yeah, I said it was hot. And he goes, I just wanted to see if it was hot. So it's kind of like that, Alex. You got to go and try it out maybe for yourself, but I'm just letting you know, a little hot. So,
You know what? Side note, my wife has told me before when she's used her hair curler or her hair straightener, don't touch that, that's hot. I have also done that same thing. I touched it. It was hot.
My first thought was that one time.
I thought you said you curled your hair.
I believe there was one time, Alex, where a quesadilla maker, your wife said the same thing, it's hot, and you touched it. And you burnt your hand, and she said, why did you touch it? You said, I just wanted to see how hot it was.
That is also a very true story.
Because I thought of that instantly when my son did that. I was like, fucking, this is Alex right here. Sometimes, you know, you wonder how hot is fire. How hot can it be? So it's just curiosity, Alex. Just like if you go to rootsofswampthing.com, or if you go to wednesdaycomics.com and subscribe to us on Twitter also, at Wednesday Comics, at Karat2188. And at the AP Keaton. Let me know, DC, Marvel, this 2023 year, what are the key series to read? I'm catching up, baby. I'm catching up faster than a speeding bullet. I'm over here reading things left and right. And then also the other stuff, obviously. But I feel like I had more scheduled reading with that kind of stuff than I did the Marvel DC. I really dipped out of the Marvel DC kind of universe for a while. So I'm back, baby. I'm back stronger than ever, Alex. You know, who would win in a fight? And this is going to be a Marvel DC question to end this podcast. And Garrett, I want your opinion also. Hulkbuster, but inside the Hulkbuster is Toad. Or if he fought Doomsday.
Okay, wait. You're saying Toad's in the Hulkbuster fighting Doomsday? What?
Right, yes. Who wins?
So Toad from the Brotherhood of X-Men. Or Brotherhood is in the Hulkbuster,
right?
Fighting Doomsday, the man that has killed Superman, the
right.
man without
who wins.
Doomsday, 100%.
Doomsday.
What you guys didn't ask is Doomsday is actually shrunken down to 1/600th of the size.
That means Ant-Man style, right? He would punch with
right.
the force,
right? And that's a good question to
of all
ask,
the particles,
because that is correct. Doomsday does win because of that. So. God, you guys are getting better at this every day. Every day.
Damn.
Getting better all the time. My name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone. Merry Christmas. And keep turning those pages.